Welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live, a question and answer show exclusive to OnlyFans and Miami Dolphins Discord server. Now, here's your host, Alf.
And we're on, and welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live, the only show that is exclusive to our Discord server, OnlyFans. We do put it on our feed, but if you want to participate live, you can go to discord.gg/OnlyFans and you become a member there for $3 a month. And of course, Prize Picks. Go to Prize Picks. Use the promo code 5, F-I-V-E. You deposit $100, you get $100. It's as simple as that. And of course, betteredge.com. Go to betteredge.com/5 reasons. And you get $20 just for signing up. All right. Odell Beckham is in town. That's the latest news. But I finally watched some of these UDFAs that Miami signed. And I'm of the opinion that this is a very, very, very nice group. I went over every one of these guys, and I could give you the front page on all these guys as I saw it. Mark Perry, the safety out of TCU, and we're going to do this now. And if you have any questions, you can put them in the chat, and I'll get to as many as I can, or all of them. Mark Perry, safety out of TCU, good size, 6 feet, 211 pounds, very, very good hitter. Okay, he will come up and smack you. He can run a little bit, although I don't have a 40 time. He ran track at TCU. He's more of a combo safety. He can play in the box. He can play a little bit high. But he's pretty good in man coverage as a slot. So pretty versatile. So this is a guy that's going to compete with Patrick McMorris, I think. Matthew Jones, guard out of Ohio State. 6'3.5", 312 pounds. Very, very similar to Robert Jones the more I see him. And to be quite honest with you, I don't know how this guy didn't get drafted. I guess, you know, he's not much for as an athlete, but he could get to the second level. He hits the cutoff as good as most of these offensive linemen. So I like Matthew Jones a lot. I think he makes the team, actually, as an offensive lineman. Also has versatility. He could play center. You could be looking at your backup center right there in Matthew Jones. Storm Duck. Cornerback out of Louisville, 6 feet, 201 pounds, very long, strong, very good with his hands and in press. I think he could even be moved to safety, but I think they'll try him at corner because he plays pretty well facing the quarterback and in zone. Grayson Murphy, edge player from UCLA, 6'2", 251 pounds. Oddly enough, his brother Gabriel Murphy is a bit more productive at UCLA. Both are very, very similar. Both are exactly the same size. He's pretty productive. 10 sacks in 26 games at UCLA. He's going to be able to play special teams as well. So he's one to watch. But he's noticeable as an edge rusher. Moving on, Bayram Matos. I don't know anything about him, but he's 6'7", 313 pounds. That's the IPP player. So he will be in the practice squad. Hayden Rucci, tight end from Wisconsin, 6'5", 260 pounds. Kind of a Durham Smythe clone. Caught 17 passes at Wisconsin. Didn't catch many balls, but pretty good as an inline blocker. Jaquan Burton, wide receiver, FAU, 5'9", 187 pounds. Explosive. They have another one of these. He's a deep threat. He can get deep, and he can play on the perimeter. Has some chops to play in the slot, but he's mostly a guy that can stack cornerbacks, so he's another deep threat. I think he has a shot. You know, speed always has a shot. Kevin Hardison, the quarterback from UTEP, 6'2", 206 pounds. Big arm. You know what everybody's been talking about him. Yeah, he has a pretty big arm. I don't know if he's going to compete with Skylar Thompson for third string or even Mike White, but he's a pretty damn good camp arm. Who knows? Maybe he sticks. Isaiah Johnson, cornerback from Syracuse, 6'3", 205 pounds. He ran a 4.6 4.40 at the combine. Really good tackler. I think he's going to move to safety. He's a really good tackler. He's good in run support. There's not much tape of him, you know, being successful in man, but he does play well in zone facing the quarterback. So he's more of a consummate cover three corner and more likely than not a safety at the next level. Leonard Payne, defensive tackle, has some versatility, 6'3", 300 pounds, can play three tech, can play five tech. Heavy-handed, not much else to know. There's only two guys left, Andrew Meyer, guard from UTEP, and Jordan Colbert, a safety from Rhode Island. I don't know too much about those two guys. But that's your UDFA lineup. And if you have any questions on the UDFA guys, I could get to it. In fact, I'm going to look up some of my notes so I can get them up here. All right. We have one in the queue. Okay, great. As I bring you up, identify yourself so that way the audience knows who you are. All right, I'm going to bring you up right now. Everybody else, you can just put your questions in the chat, and I will try to get to every single one of you.
Hi, Alf. It's Dundee Dolphin.
Hey, there you are.
Hey, Ram. How are you?
Good, good.
So we kind of I feel like we're entering the kind of real off part of the off season.
Yep.
And there are some contracts that you know have been kind of put off, some to be renewed, some 50-year options that have been taken and so on. But Tua, Waddle, Phillips, and Holland are players that whose long term future is kind of yet to be decided. Of those, who matters most? When do we take care of that? And what do you see as being the kind of ceiling and payment schedule for those players, and where will that all leave us financially?
I think Holland is probably first up, and I would guess, and this is just a guess, that Tua is going to be done very, very soon, as in before the 4th of July, let's say, in the month of June, it'll get done. So I think Tua is going to be done. I think Waddle could reach into the season, and I think Jalen Phillips could reach into his fifth year option year. So that I think he might be last. I think Waddle's happening during the season. But Holland is the one that has to get done first because he's a free agent at the end of the season. There is no fifth year option for him. And you've seen what safeties are getting in the open market. So there's not a robust market, so might as well take advantage of that. 2 years ago, some safeties got paid. Jesse Bates for one, Tyrann Mathieu got like $7 million a year. So I don't think Javon Holland is going to get too much money. So I would venture to guess that he gets done first, because I think it's going to be the friendliest of all the contracts. And I think Tua is getting done before the 4th of July. Definitely before
when
camp.
When you say friendliest of the contracts, is that your sense from... Is that just your rating of them personally, or is that your sense of what's going on in any conversations or how he rates himself?
I think it has to do with the NFL. The NFL is not putting a premium on safeties. So you're not talking about a big number. He doesn't have the accolades yet. So I don't think he could ask for the money that Jesse Bates got 2 years ago. So I think it's going to be friendly, as in, you know, it's not going to be a big number. It's going to be something that they could easily work with, you know, on a 3 or 4 year deal. So I think that's one that's probably first up right alongside Tua's number. I think there needs to be a little bit more coordination for the Waddle number to come out and the Jalen Phillips number. That hasn't even been born yet. Well, they don't know anything about that yet. He's coming off an Achilles, so
yeah.
I think they want to watch him play first. I think that one's the one that could reach into the fifth-year option. I think Waddle gets done this season, Tua gets done soon, and Holland this summer.
Right. Yeah, do you think Waddle is a priority in terms of time, or you just let it go because we have him tied up anyway?
Yeah, they got him tied up anyway, but I think that that's when you want to, you know, you don't want to play chicken with Ja'Marr Chase's deal, okay? Because that one's going to be a big one. I think he's going to fall right in line with what Devonta Smith got, so...
Right. You
know, I would venture to guess he's gonna get. I don't think it's gonna be that acrimonious because it's essentially gonna be they're just gonna put Devonta Smith's contract right in front of him, and that's it.
Unless he doesn't want an extension.
Yeah, unless he doesn't want to take that. But why wouldn't he want to take that? I think it's gonna be right in line with what he's probably gonna earn. So, yeah, I don't foresee any acrimony in that deal.
Yeah, it fits really well. I mean, he's sort of wide receiver two right now, so mm-hmm. an extension fits, right?
Yep, absolutely.
That list. Thanks for sharing the UDFA stuff there. Does the emergence of the guys you talked about and the defensive backs.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And potentially it's someone who might be signed to the offensive line. Does that change the priority of what we do with the Xavier Howard money after June 1st?
No, I think that they are going to go get an interior offensive lineman when they get the Xavier Howard money. Like, that's happening. You know, I don't think that's going to be an issue. As far as the safety, I have no idea. You know, they have three UDFAs that they can convert. You saw the picture today released by the team. Nick Needham is standing there with the safeties. Is he going to be playing safety this year? That's also a possibility. So yeah. They have a lot of bodies. Do they have three that they trust? They definitely have two that they trust. And I think Elijah Campbell is a guy that, you know, he's never had a bad step either. I think he's a good football player. You know, for my liking, I think you add one more. You add a vet. But we shall see, especially if they want to play some of those sets that they played in Baltimore with the three safeties. So, yeah, I think you add one more. But we shall see.
Okay. Thanks very much.
All right. Let me get to some of the questions in the chat. Not a very big crowd today. I guess it really is in. The start of the off season. And speaking of the off season, we're going to have the debut of that show with Marek Brave and I on Friday. So looking forward to that. All right, let me get into some of these questions. Although Fever is gripping the fan base, apart from simply catching the ball, what does he allow us to do that we couldn't do without him? Well, you've heard, if you listened to our last podcast, our last 3YPC, Chris Kaufman talked about how infrequent Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill are on the field together at the same time. I believe it's 40%. So there's plenty of snaps to go around without those guys on the field. Well, now instead of those snaps going to River Craycraft or even Azukama or Braxton Berrios, they're going to Odell Beckham. Your 11 personnel grouping just got exponentially better because now you can play a Jalen Waddle or a Tyreek Hill in the slot. With Odell Beckham outside. So your passing game just got much stronger. I would also say this. Last year, I think they struggled to find a third pass catching option. This year, they've added two in Jonnu Smith and Odell Beckham. And they also drafted Malik Washington and Taj Washington. So the cupboard, while it was bare before, it's loaded now. So this is a really, really good offense. It's as talented as it's been for a very, very long time. And they really aren't missing much. If you could go get an interior offensive lineman, I think that completes the group. Next question. We are about to enter the deepest, darkest part of the offseason when things resume. What will have changed, if anything? I think you're going to see one of these UDFAs emerge. Maybe Matthew Jones as a candidate. Maybe not to start, but to be on the 53. So I think that one's going to be interesting. I watch his film. I don't get it. I don't know why he wasn't drafted. Big school and all. You know, maybe because he's exclusively an interior player, but he does have some position versatility because he could play center. So I'm very interested to watching him play in camp. I'm very interested in seeing him in person, as well as Patrick Paul. I've been told, you know, that he's a specimen, that you had to see him up close to appreciate him. I think that's probably why Chris Greer fell in love, and that's why they used pick 55 on him. Next question. Do Miami's coaches take a break between now and OTAs? If not, what do they do in this period? No, they don't take any breaks from now until OTAs. Their last opportunity to take a vacation is probably right before camp. There's a two-week dead period where really nobody does anything except the immediate staff. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. And then it's just full-blown until the Super Bowl. Now you've had a chance to check out the UDFAs. Who has caught your eye? How many might make the team? I posted about this on OnlyFans, and if you want to become a member on OnlyFans, of course, again, it's discord.gg/OnlyFans. I think four. And those four are Mark Perry, the safety from TCU, Matthew Jones, the guard from Ohio State, Storm Duck, cornerback from Louisville, and Grayson Murphy, the edge player from UCLA. I think all four, including Matthew Jones, have some special teams versatility. So I'm interested to see that. But I think those four. And, of course, Matos is going to be on the practice squad due to the IPP. But, yeah, those four have a shot. Not that all four are going to make the 53, but I think all four are damn near locks for the practice squad. I will say that. Next question. Tua, J.R. Waddle, and Holland to be re-signed at some point. If Miami has to let one of them go, which would it be? I think it's most obvious that it's Jalen Phillips because he's last on that list. And he actually has to prove something. He's coming off of an Achilles. You know? But he'll be here for 2 years. They picked up his fifth-year option. Next question. Lots of chat on Twitter about which running backs should make the Miami roster. The consensus is that Wilson should go. Is there anything in the player contracts that you know of that makes that hard to do? It feels like he might be toast. No, I think Jeff Wilson, the deal that he signed, is, I wouldn't say guarantees he'll be here this year, but doesn't make too much sense to cut him. So I think he's at least four. I think he's RB4 at the very, very least. I think Savon Ahmed is in some danger, or a lot of danger. Predictions for the schedule. Where will it all end? Last game versus the Jets. Look, they always alternate, right? So last year they had Miami on the road in Buffalo early in the season, and then at home against Buffalo at the end of the season. I think they'll reverse that. I think Miami will be at home against Buffalo early in the season and on the road in Buffalo later in the season. Where will they end the season? That's a great question. I think they throw us a swerve, and I think they end in New England. How's that? And that's pretty favorable, I think, by the way. Somebody says, small crowd, but enthusiastic. Yeah. another question. I think this might even be the last question. Not a very big crowd today. It's the dead of the offseason. Says, hi, off. How many offensive linemen are we keeping this year? It's looking crowded. Great question. I would say 10. You know, 10 is probably the right number. And activate 8 on game day. Something like that. But I want to see them. I want to see them in camp before I form a stronger opinion. Another question. Do we know how Butch Berry felt about Patrick Paul signing? Was he banging the table saying, give me this guy and I'll make something out of him? Or is this just something that Greer loved, is foisting upon Butch, and is just something he is dealing with? No information on that. I'll see Butch Berry in camp and I'll ask him about him. I'll ask him the same question I asked of all the guys. You know, what was your interaction with these players that were drafted? Did you scout them? Did you work them out? You know, were you the guy who was responsible for bringing these guys in? I do know for a fact that Austin Clark does get a lot of credit for the guys that he brings in, for the guys that are brought in on the defensive line. So I guess you can say that the Colorado defensive tackle, Leonard Payne, is probably an Austin Clark special. So we shall see. Next question. What is the likelihood we'll sign two vet guards? Two, unlikely. One, likely. Two, I don't think that's happening. Okay? Because a lot of that money that's coming free, and you heard us on the podcast, we talked about it. A lot of it is spoken for. So this is, I don't think that that's something that, you know, I don't think that you're going to go crazy. I think you're signing one vet guard and maybe one vet for the secondary, probably a safety. And, you know, you always want to keep some money around, you know, just in case during the regular season. You never know if you have to spend some money at a position because you deal with some injuries. It happened last year. All right, next question. What are the details of the off-season podcast? Yeah, we're going to be doing that every single Friday, myself and Marek Brave. The show is called The Off-Season. It's dropping every single Friday. We're going to be doing it in here. In our Discord, discord.gg/OnlyFans. So you guys will be able to participate. We're going to talk, of course, we're going to talk Dolphins. You know, we're going to talk other sports as well. Remember, it's the show is called The Offseason, so it's going to be about the offseason. We're going to talk cigars. We're going to talk drinking culture. We're going to talk a little bit of pro wrestling. Other sports, of course. You know, and whatever comes to mind. You know, whatever there is to fill 30 minutes with. All right, I think we're going to call it right here. This is going to be a short show. Very small crowd. It is the off season. It is May 8th. But I think we dealt with plenty here. We spoke a lot about UDFAs. This show will be with you next week and the week after that. It's OnlyFans Q&A Live. We will be on every single Wednesday for the rest of the year, or unless I take a vacation, and then I'll just take a week off. But we will see you again next week. But till then.
Thanks for listening to OnlyFans Q&A Live.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.